Would you bow your heads, please? Say, Father, give me ears to hear. A heart to perceive. And eyes to see. What your Spirit is speaking to me. Amen? The vision from Gail confirms the word. Isaiah 32, verse 15. Isaiah 32, verse 15. Till the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high. Yeah. That was the word that the Lord gave me this afternoon. He said, go to Isaiah 32, so that's where we're going. Isaiah 32. Verse 15 was confirmed by Linda that same day that was that word was received on July 28th, 2013. It was also given to Peggy. Same chapter. So are you ready?
Yes.
See, verse 1. A king will reign in righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. Now, if you read that for the sake of reading it, you're going to be looking at Jesus, and that's about it. But that's not where it says. It says, and rulers will rule with justice. Rulers with an S. Correct?
Yeah.
Is Jesus the only king?
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's the King of Kings.
That's right.
Ah. Who are those rulers? Yeah, us. So he's writing about the king, but he's also talking about us. And we will rule with justice. Each man will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. Confirming again the word about the living water. Then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed. How can you be blind with your eyes wide open? Because you haven't got a clue about who you really are. All you're thinking about is the next 60, 70 years until you hit the grave. Oh, I'm going to retire when I'm 65. God bless you. You might not make it. How many bite the dust before 60? Before 50? Before 40? Before 30?
Yeah.
See, it doesn't matter your age. It's if you know the one who is your Lord, the world will definitely pass away, but his word won't pass away, and your life is only for a little while. So if you're so concerned about tomorrow, your focus is on the wrong thing. Then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed, and the ears of those who hear will listen, and the mind of the rash will know and understand, and the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear. Now I'm going to step on your toes a little bit. Are you ready?
Yep.
Say, this might hurt a little bit, but I can make it through him. The word stammering tongue could be identified as your tongue or your heavenly language. How many have ever had a communication spirit to spirit with two talking to each other? Thank you. It is no longer stammering. It is fluent. Interpretation can come from both. Until the victory is gathered in the unity of the Spirit. The heavenly church is spiritual, and it is connected to us. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They hear every word you speak, and they may respond if you just give them a chance. So the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear. No longer will the fool be called noble, nor the scoundrel be highly respected. What do we see in politics? I've just described to you what most nations see. fools and scoundrels highly respected. I should have heard an amen. Because you guys, you know, unless you're totally asleep, you can see when somebody's lying and covering their rear ends consistently. And I'm not picking on any particulars. I'm just telling you, it's all over the world. Come on, I should have heard an amen.
Amen.
For the fool speaks folly, his mind is busy with evil, he practices ungodliness and spreads error concerning the Lord. The hungry he leaves empty. Hear me. And from the thirsty, he withholds water. The scoundrel's methods are wicked. He makes up evil schemes to destroy the poor with lies. Even when the plea of the needy is just, but the noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. I should have heard another amen.
Amen.
Got it? The noble man is not going to have two standards, one public and one private.
Amen.
Amen. Okay? But there are many in authority that have this double standard. They'll tell you what you want to hear, and as soon as you walk away, they say, oh my, but we aren't going to do that for that one.
Amen.
And their standards are corrupt. Verse 9, the women who are so complacent, rise up and listen to me. You daughters who feel secure, hear what I have to say. In little more than a year, you who feel secure will tremble, and the grape harvest will fail, and the harvest of fruit will not come. Tremble, you complacent women, shudder, you daughters who feel secure. Strip off your clothes, put sackcloth around your waist, beat your breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vines, and for the land of my people, a land overgrown with thorns and briars. Yes, mourn for all houses of merriment, and for this city of revelry. The fortress will be abandoned, the noisy cities deserted, citadels and watchtowers will become a wasteland forever, the delight of the donkey, a pasture for the flock. Till the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, the desert becomes a fertile field. Notice the switching by the Holy Ghost. The whole transformation of you and I happens when the Holy Spirit starts to impact our lives. When you first get impacted, He is just, oh, I'm so in love with Jesus, and you don't care if it's raining or sunshine.
Amen.
But all of a sudden, your brain kicks in. How many have ever had a brainstorm?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's really tongues that I got. Oh, well, I understand what it means, but it can't be tongues, so I better shut up. That happened to me. And I shut everything down because I was afraid that I might have missed the boat. And how many of you have bowed to fear? Put your hand up. Bow to fear. He is a spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give you a spirit of fear. It is a spirit of fear. It is not the Holy Spirit. And most people live under that anointing. Day in and day out. Oh, I hope it doesn't rain today. Well, God bless you. If it didn't rain, we wouldn't have any flowers.
Amen.
I'm serious. You need rain. So there's going to be rainy days. There's going to be rainy seasons. But let's face it. When the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest, justice will dwell in the desert, and righteousness live in the fertile fields. The fruits of the righteous will be peace. The effects of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. It's kind of a cool place to live, isn't it? All right. Though hail flattens the forest and the city is leveled completely, how blessed you will be, sowing your seed by every stream and letting your cattle and donkey range free. That includes the stubborn ones among you. How many of you have a few friends and relatives that are a little stubborn?
Yes, they do.
That's the donkeys. Remember, Jesus rode a donkey into the city. Why? Because he could do it. It also specifies that that donkey had never been ridden. So what's the donkey's nature?
Stubbornness.
Now, I've never had a problem with that. We're all right. Baloney. Stop laughing, Judy. You're related to me.
I've known you too long, Kim.
Hear me when I say this. God has a plan. His Spirit is being poured out on some at this time. But it will increase. It will increase until he fills this entire land with his presence. And every nation will bow. He is the King of kings. So stop looking at yourself as a slave. As soon as you get a new mentality. I remember back in the 70s reading a book called "A King: How to Live Like a King's Kid" by Harold Hill. How many have ever heard that book? One, two, three. Harold Hill was an engineer, I believe, who worked for NASA. And he worked in Florida, I believe. Now, don't forget, this is 30 years in memory here. And if I'm off, you can correct me.
I can remember.
Yeah, he wrote a book because he was the only Christian that was working to get one of those satellites to go around. And around the Earth, because we were in competition with Russia. Well, when they sent out some investigating stuff out in the heavens, every time they tried to hit the moon, it would go off. So all of the engineers cry out, we're doing something wrong, we don't know what it is, blah, blah, blah. And he went to the Lord and he said, God, you got to show me because there's something in the computer that's throwing this thing off and I don't have a clue what it is. And what it was that God had allowed a prayer to be answered where the sun stood still, causing all the computers, because an adjustment had not been made in the computer, the thing would veer off and it would not hit the moon. And we were sending stuff out there to get away so that we could be the first. So he adjusted the computers, told the people what he read them the scriptures, because I think there's two times where things, there was a reverse one time. There was one when Moses held up his hand. So he adjusted the computer. And the next shot that they gave, everything fell into place. And I can remember reading that book and saying, I don't feel like a king. I feel more like a slave. Mm-hmm. But God was readjusting me. Mm-hmm. Now, what happened is I started to go off in the wrong direction because now I wanted to control everything.
Amen.
Gee, I got friends here. It was the wrong spirit. I am supposed to be a king of the king. Checking out what the king wants before I act as a king. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Jesus never did anything to please himself. He only did as the Father gave him direction. And I wasn't looking for direction. I like the idea of being in control. I like the driver's seat. So I put Jesus on the passenger side for a while, and I drove. And we had a few crashes. Oh, come on now. I'm glad some of you are laughing, because how many of you have ever crashed?
Oh, my Lord.
Thank you. Now you can relate. See, and he is the Lord of lords. Controllers are lords, amen? But when we are under the Lord of lords, we are not going to crash. We might be heading in the wrong direction for a while, but he'll kind and he'll give you a little nudge and another little nudge and another little nudge, and then all of a sudden you're back on the right place.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So lift your hands to him. Say, I need living water.
I need living water.
I don't want to miss the boat.
I want to
be on target.
I want to be a king.
Under the king.
The king of all kings.
His name is Jesus.
And as that living water
continues to work through me, it will affect those around me. Some might get upset a little. Because I might have lost my marbles for a while. They'll think I'm a little loony.
But I'll get to the moon before them.
Because the Holy Ghost is going to do something. Something in me. As he makes me see. His plan is greater than mine.
Then
I will trust him by choice.
Until I rejoice.
By choice.
In Jesus' name.
You gave all of it to him. Now just remember, your job is to rejoice. Enjoy your trip. Love one another.